Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Francis, let you head down and sing to me, because we've got a very good time to see. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Francis.
What's that?
That was a little musical number.
Sorry, I was just responding to an email.
Sorry, man. It's so funny. You know, we had Spencer on the podcast last episode.
Yeah, why do you always try and organise podcasts with Spencer when I'm not?
No, I wanted you to be there, man.
You didn't. You said, oh, I'm doing a podcast with Spencer tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise you felt left out. Well, listen, you'll love this because
you just want to keep Spencer all to yourself.
No, I don't. I want to keep myself. I just thought it was funny.
Do you realise if we're all in the same room, he'll ditch you and then we'll just hang out all the time with his baby?
He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he
and
would.
You wouldn't do that to me.
No, I wouldn't.
He told me that he has an audition for a stage show.
Really?
I said, what is it? And he wouldn't tell me, so I'm convinced it's Panto.
Oh, probably, yeah.
I would love to see Spencer as Panto, as the Sugar Plum Fairy.
No, or would he be would you think he'd be the villain? He'd want to be the villain.
He'd want to be the villain. Hey, you know, also, before we start the podcast, we've got to give a big shout-out to all of our listeners. You guys freaking rock. Thank you so much for tuning in every single day to Private Parts.
And thank you, especially, to all of those people who have given us such lovely reviews on iTunes.
Do you know we've had over 1,300 reviews, and we still have 5 stars?
You know what that means?
That we're 5 stars.
Law of averages. Do you know what that means?
We're 5 stars?
Yeah. Actually, that, I mean, 1,000, whatever, however many the people there were, can't lie, can they?
They can't lie, can they?
Actually, like, they can, but they're not.
I just really just love you guys. You guys are freaking great. Hey, also, if you want to follow us on Instagram, follow Francis Paul, Jamie Lang, and that Private Podcast. It'd be great for all of those people to check us in on us, leave us comments, leave reviews.
Is there anything you want to change about Jamie, his appearance, his just general persona? He's open to change.
And we also want, you know, we want suggestions of what you like and what you don't like on the podcast. So email us, contact@privatepartspodcast.com.
Yeah, that's it. You got it right.
I got it right. Hey, do you know who we have on today, by the way?
No, who?
You don't know who it is? Well, we do know who it is because we've already done it.
Oh, Tim Allen, Home Improvement. Yes, I do, yeah. I loved Home Improvement and Toy Story. It's a great...
It's not... That's Woody Allen.
What? What are you talking about?
How many Allens do you know? Tim Allen, Woody Allen.
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
Smith Adam. Oh, that was his.
Well, we don't have any of those guys on today. Who we have on today is Tom Allen. Yes, Tom Allen from Bake Off, Extra Slice. Tom Allen from Bake Off, The Professionals. Tom Allen, the comedian. Tom Allen from so many different things.
He's a utility player. You put anywhere you want to put him on TV, stage,
and he makes it good.
He'll make it funny. I think. You know what? I'm gonna make a prediction here.
Okay.
I think he's gonna be the next big thing.
I say that as well. I really do. I think he's going to...
I know, I just stole your prediction.
You did, you stole it. I think he's going to be...
But I predicted it first, no, on live live podcast.
You just told everyone that I predicted it first.
No, but they heard it from me first. So if they shut up, they turn off the podcast right after I said it, they'll think I predicted it.
Okay.
But I predicted a lot of things, and one of them was the success of Lana Del Rey before anyone knew who she was. She had 3,000 followers on Twitter, and I told everyone, you should listen to this girl, she's amazing. And then
that's the most random.
And then Billie Eilish,
Eilish. Like,
I went to see her first ever gig ever.
She's huge now,
and she's fucking massive now. She's got like millions and millions of followers. And I met her and stuff. And I was saying, yeah, I think you're gonna be huge.
Did she go, hey, Francis,
yeah,
I love you?
Yeah. And then we were chatting, and I said, yeah, look, I predicted Lana Del Rey's success. I can predicting yours. You're gonna be huge. And
you said, listen, come join my production company. I've made Lana Del Rey big. I can make you even bigger.
And you know who else I think is gonna be huge? Is a new singer called Freya Ridings, who I think is gonna be massive.
We know Freya Ridings. Yeah. She's already quite big.
Well, yeah, she's going to be bigger though.
She's already a big time singer.
Yeah, I know, but I've been saying this for a long time.
Do you know who I think is going to be really big? Lionel Richie. I think if you haven't heard him yet, I reckon he's got a big career ahead of him.
Yeah, he's going to do another movie and work with Vinnie Jones.
That's a little joke you'll find out if you listen to the podcast with the lovely Tom Allen. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here's Tom Allen on Private Parts. Enjoy.
And maybe... we should get Freya Ridings on the podcast.
Okay, Freya Ridings as well. But let's just, for the moment, we have Tom Allen. So let's just intro that nicely.
Maybe who else could we get?
No, Francis.
Maybe Billie Eilish.
Let's just focus on today's guest.
All right, I'm going to make some more predictions.
No, I'm going to smoothly go into it.
What's that? What do you mean by that? That's so weird how you always say that. Creepy. I mean, that is really dodgy.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
You're going to smoothly go into Tom Allen? I bet you are.
Tom, if you're listening, I apologise. You are the best person in the world. Hey, Tom, hope you enjoy.
Why are you apologising?
I don't know. You made me freak out because I said I was smoothly.
Why are you apologising?
Let's just get into the podcast, Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Tom Allen. It's exciting, isn't it?
Super exciting.
Like, I could tell when you walked into the room, I felt excitement.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to say.
Yeah, but not just... I'm always... It's two things to it. I felt you were immensely excited.
I am excited.
And then I was also excited to have you on. And then Francis came in, and Francis is just always excited.
Yeah, I loved Home Improvement.
It's a great program that I was excellent
were
in.
Were you annoyed when they ended it?
Very annoyed. It was a huge source of revenue for me and millions of dollars.
Wait, hang on. What was this?
I looked at my other Wikipedia page with one letter different.
Oh, Tim Allen. Sorry. Yeah.
I did Jason. Are we recording this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything salacious. I don't know what I need to ask there.
You'll never guess.
You'll never guess. Okay, I'm going to tell you about... No, I was on Absolute Radio, and they put up that I was on, and people were commenting underneath, oh my God, I love Toy Story, and I love... Oh my God, I can't believe you've got Tim Allen coming on. The look of disappointment on their face was audible.
It was like that interview who gave that interview when... He was talking to Samuel Jackson, and he went, oh God, I love you in The Matrix. And Samuel Jackson went, I wasn't in The Matrix. Oh, he goes, yeah, you were. You were Morpheus.
Oh my God.
But also, like, to not let it go as well, to be like, no, no, I know. Can you imagine the audacity?
As if he would lie about that he wasn't in The Matrix.
But it's also that amazing story, which why Scarlett Moffat got Gogglebox, which is where she was like with her family watching, and they showed her a picture, and they were going on, she was going on going, God, I just really love the way he makes his rice. I just like the way he cooks it. I mean, I just love him. I've eaten his rice all my years. And they were all laughing. She's like, well, I don't understand why they're laughing so much. She went, I don't understand why it's Uncle Ben. I don't understand Uncle Ben's rice. Why are you laughing? They went, it's Nelson Mandela.
Oh good lord.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. I am so... Do you know, I'm so excited today.
Oh.
Yeah, do you know why? Because we've got Tom Allen on. And Tom, you are my...
Yes. Comedian of the moment.
That's nice.
Of the moment.
Well, I don't know. Is it? Can you say?
Du jour.
It's a bit fickle.
Is that? Is that
it's a fickle world. Yeah. It's a fickle world out
who's,
there.
Who's going to be your next comedian?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
we haven't met. They haven't. They don't have been born yet.
I don't know. It could change. But you are honestly, I can't tell you how much you make me laugh.
Oh, that's a huge pressure to start this with.
Yeah. No. You're that's the funniest comedian in the world.
Wow.
But it is one of those things, right? So, you know, and you know this, like, you know, you've been in the comedy circuit a while.
I've been in the circuit a while.
You've been circulating.
Four years.
Why are you saying 4 years?
I thought you looked about 26.
Bless you for that. Bless you for that.
But it is, because you're also one of these, because you're actually funny though as well. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good starting
as
point.
As well as just calling myself a comedian.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Just, yeah,
he's a comedian. He doesn't seem to do anything fun. Nope, he's a comedian. Says so on Wikipedia. He must be.
But you are. You're so funny, and also because you meet comedians who are. Because I spoke to someone once who said, the way you describe a comedian is if you put someone in the room, someone says something, they will leave the room and go, God, I wish I'd said that. Oh. And that's how he described comedians. And I thought, well, I don't know if that's true.
Who said that?
It's some comedian.
One of the comedians on Wikipedia.
Just stealing other people's material.
He was one of the comedians. But it's true. But you are. Oh, you really are.
A lovely way to start.
You're
I like it here.
Tom Allen, you are off the cuff funny. Which is...
And for somebody who wears a lot of cuffs, that's a very kind thing to say.
But this is so... But, you know, it's one of those things. Do you not get that the whole time being a comedian? That people kind of go, God, be funny. Not so much that, but you have that pressure of being funny.
Well, I suppose so. Go on.
Or, because they know you're a comedian, they just laugh at everything you say, thinking it's funny.
Maybe there's that, but I can't get that up in my head. then I won't go
that
anywhere.
That was hilarious.
I think there is an air of, like, some people are, like, if you're very confident, which I'm not actually particularly confident, I wouldn't have said. And in fact, I think being a comedian is more about being unconfident. But sometimes I think people will, particularly if you go to America, people are like, oh my God, like, they go with it.
Yeah, I can't work out if it's English or funny.
Which I don't mind. Yeah. I don't mind. Hey. And I guess it suits all of us, really. Yeah.
But also with you, Tom, you know, growing up, because the interesting thing, you get asked, the thing is you get asked the same questions always. You know, you went to school with Rob Beckett.
Oh, yes, people like to talk about
they
that.
They love to talk about that.
Were you friends? Or?
He's actually a couple of years younger than me. No one believes it.
So you bullied him.
So I bullied him mercilessly. Yeah, of course.
But do you think you went into comedy and things like that and performance? Because you went to the National Youth Theatre.
I was involved in National Youth Theatre. That's good research, Jamie.
Is it there? Is it?
No, I don't know.
I just knew that. How did I know that?
How did you know that?
You trained with the National Youth Theatre.
Well, it's not an official training, but I was involved with them. Yeah, I never went to somewhere where you lie on the floor and do like vocal, like blah 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 blah.
Isn't that what you did?
Did you go to drama school?
No, he did interpretive dance.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, I love dance.
I really hated it, actually. I went to Leeds University and studied theatre and performance.
Oh!
Yeah. But we didn't lie on the ground. But my sister went to Guildhall and RADA.
Oh, she did both.
She did. So she did RADA.
Greedy with her actor training.
You kind of trained vicariously through her, didn't you?
Did you? She just used to bring home the exercises.
I said, just tell me what they've been saying.
And then I'm going to go on a Maiden Chelsea and put it all into action.
But they do these things where so my sister had to be an animal for a day.
Oh, yeah, all of that. The idea of me telling my parents, like, what did you do today? And me being like, well, I was a sloth. And they're like, yeah, bet you bloody well were. The idea of that would have been, like, my dad's a coach driver. And I think, you know, it's difficult sometimes to kind of go, yeah, well, sometimes, you know, we just, you know, sit on the floor and vibrate. Like, would have been like so... Kind of.
But this is the thing which I think, and you get asked this the whole time as well, is that because of the way you dress and your accent and things like that, people automatically think you're posh. And
they do. They think I'm posh, but I'm not proper posh like you guys.
Jamie's the only proper posh one.
I think you're posh, but they do, right? And where did your kind of, is it elocution? Where did your kind of accent have you always spoken like this?
Asking that, Professor Higgins. Well, I don't know. Do you know what the thing is? So my family are very ordinary. They're from Southeast London, really. Mm-hmm. And I went to a very ordinary school. But the trouble is, I sounded posh, and I don't know why. And I always sounded posh from when I first started talking. So I was always a bit different, and I always sort of knew, felt different. Anyway, I knew I was different.
How did you feel different?
I don't know, actually.
You just felt
and
different?
I mean, I was tempted to be like, oh, it's about being gay. But I don't think it is. Because, like, you know, I wasn't gay when I was like five. Yeah. But at the same time, there are those stereotypes like not being able to catch a ball, being interested in musicals, like being really drawn to flamboyant characters on television in a way that, like, you know, there's no explanation for it.
Yeah.
But somehow I just like zoned in. Somebody described it as being like a dog whistle. Like yeah. somehow as a child you go, well, there's these people out there I know I relate to in this way. I don't understand why. But the idea of being five and being like, well, Mum, I would really like this Noel Coward album, please. We're walking around Woolworths in Bromley and I go like, oh, no, I don't think you want that, dude. Do you want that? Or like wanting to buy a blazer. When you're six, and all the other kids just walking around in like t-shirts and shorts.
But why? What was?
I don't know, but I can't explain it. But I just knew in my soul that I was different. I needed to express it in this well, way. There is that RuPaul catchphrase, which is "We're all born naked, but and all the rest is drag." And I kind of like, and I like that. It's yeah, like we're all kind of working out who we are, and just sort of we express it in whatever way. Do you find that with any like biopic film is always like? There's always like a moment where they're like, and then I decided, and it's like, you know, like if it was a film about Michael Caine, it would be like, oh, I walked past, he was called Morris Micklewhite, wasn't he? You can imagine him just walking past like a cane and be like, oh, I guess I need to be an actor now.
Yeah.
And then the next thing he's in Hollywood. Like, they're always such like, there's always that storyline.
There's always that moment.
Yeah, they're always that one thing. But I think anybody's career, anybody's life is always a series of like,
progression.
Oh, I sort of thought that, and oh, I didn't know about that, and oh, I wondered about that. I think that the way films and the way that like celebs tell their stories, it makes, I think most people be like, oh my goodness, my life is a mess. Like, because I didn't just do one thing and it led to me being a massive star in Hollywood or something.
Yeah, I think it's because people want to have that like dramatic moment, right?
Yeah, they, the denouement.
I met this guy the other day who he actually does an amazing called Change Please, where he gets people off the streets, gives them a job in his coffee shops, and then gets them housing and things like that. Oh. It's called Change Please. It's amazing. It's a coffee that you may sit around the place. And this is a talk last night doing, and he was saying that he was on a bus in Taiwan or someone like that, and so an American guy came on the bus and he didn't really want anyone to sit next to him, so he tried to cover his seat, and the American guy saw him, came and sat next to him, and he said, you know, come on, his name's Harry, come on Harry, you need to change your life.
How did you know his name?
Because
they're just posh people that just know each other all the time. They went to school
Harry,
together.
Harry, right?
Is that Harry?
Harry, right?
But he didn't, he sat next to him and he said, you should do the rocking chair thing, which is
what's that? Yeah,
the rocking chair motion, where you should think about yourself in a rocking chair on your porch when you're 90 years old and think if your life has you done this and your life and things like that. And
I thought you just started rocking.
Yeah, I thought.
And in which case, like, you definitely, people won't come and sit next to you.
Yeah. Get sectioned.
But he said, do you think that's actually what Sean, what's his name? Who's the comedian who does 8 out of 10 cats and things?
Sean Locke.
Sean Locke says that if he doesn't want anyone to sit next to him on a plane or something like that, he just sits down and pretends he's playing an imaginary tuba. Just kidding. But this guy had this moment, and he's like, you know, he said he had this rocking chair moment where he wanted to be 90 years old, thinking back on his life.
Mm.
And he thought, have you done something to impress the world and impress yourself and all those kind of things? And that was the moment. Ooh. He goes, right, I'm going to go and do Change Please. But I don't think I'm going to have that moment, that Michael Caine moment.
Well, I think I'm with the Michael Caine moment now. Don't even know, like, poor Michael Caine.
Jamie's just really waiting for his Michael Caine moment.
Just, when are we going to have our Michael Caine moment?
I'm walking every single day.
I love Michael Caine.
We're walking back and forth past Caine shops.
I just love the idea of Tom walking past a blazer shop and looking and going, that's me.
Yeah, absolutely. Did, like, Gentleman's Outfitters. Remember that? They don't really exist now. I think they've all but gone, that would sell, like, a tweed blazer and then maybe a brassy button blazer and then a checkered shirt that would be, like, still in the packaging but, like, displayed at an angle in a shop window that sometimes had like a sort of slightly yellow did you ever have this where you lived? Maybe this is where I live. Like a yellowing sort of polythene sort of layer that they brought down to stop the clothes from fading. I mean, they were wonderful places.
So do you have that moment where you're walking past a shop window and you have like a suit and a shirt on a mannequin and you step in the window and the shadow is, you know, you put your head on top of it and you go, that is, and it fits perfectly on and you look, you know what I mean? And you just,
sure.
And you, but the thing is right, so you said that you felt different and you knew that you were different and it's the thing where you went, okay, I'm probably gay, but that's not why I'm different. I'm still just different. Is that what kind of happened?
Yeah, I think it sort of transcended that. I think I just was different, and I felt very, I don't think I was particularly strong-willed, and I'm not particularly strong-willed now. But I've, at that point, I was like, no, I don't want to be. I don't want to be like the other kids. I don't want to be like the other boys. I'm not. I'm not going to go and play football. I'm not going to. And I felt very adamant that I was different, and I needed to just express it. I couldn't hide it.
But that's the, like the last thing you want to be as a kid, right? Is to be the one that you stand out. That you are. Everyone wants to fit in. So surely, well, was tricky, right? That alienated you, right?
Well, I think you have a choice that you go. Well, I felt there was a choice where you go either like I'm different, so I'm going to try and hide it, or I'm different. Well, I'm always going to be a little bit different. I'm never going to quite get this right. So I may as well just run in the other direction and do that very strongly, but be totally different.
I think there is a joke. So I've been to so many different schools in my life.
Have you?
You know, Francis felt different.
Some places.
Are you Francis or Francois?
Francis.
Why did you call him Francois?
Oh, it's my little pet name.
Oh, I see. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
But took it on.
Yeah. Have you been calling him Francois?
I think I've called you Francois all the way through this. That's a lovely name.
I love that you didn't correct him either. You just went with it.
Well, people call me, some of my family call me Francois.
Frankie?
But some
people. You're like Grace and Frankie. You're the male Grace and Frankie, you two.
Frank and Deck. I've been to many different schools, in my life, and I've kind of
that's a story in itself, which we should.
I was kind of like, well, what am I going to do at this school? Well, maybe I'm just going to be really, I'm going to try and fit in, or I'm going to just be different, or whatever, or I'm going to be a nerd, or I'm going to be a cool guy and play sports, whatever.
Mm. You had your Michael Caine moment. You went to different school and thought, do you know what? For the next 2 years, I am going to be a nerd.
Yeah, I knew that I was moving, somewhere else, I'd kind of
I'd
use it like a test tube environment.
That's why did you move around? Were you expelled a lot?
Couple of times, but my dad's business and my mum and my parents are both, my father's French Mauritian, my mum's American, so we lived in America for a while, lived in Paris for a while, but mainly between Paris and France.
Paris.
Well, yes, yeah, so Fontainebleau. Just outside.
But hang on, stop what you're doing because we've got a word from our sponsors.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now back to the podcast.
But Tom, so you growing up, so you're this different kid. You then got into like acting and things like that.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to be an actor, and then it turned out I was just gay.
Yeah, I think that's what happens, isn't it?
You want to be an actor, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and it turns out I was just gay.
Great news. Yeah. Great news. I just felt like, I don't know, I think, well, I thought like that was the only place I could be like myself. I could be this kind of extravagant person who's out there, who's able to live a sort of creative life. And then I got into acting and I realized like a lot of people in acting are quite serious. Like people take it very seriously. And
God,
for me,
do.
Like I like stories and I like people who tell a flamboyant story and I like kind of big theatre that's very playful. But a lot of the time, like, yeah. I mean, controversially, I don't. I mean, I've tried to watch Shakespeare, but I do not understand.
Yeah, you know, I
fucking word of what he's saying.
But it's true, and I think with acting, right, is that people just take it. Hold on, is there like clinking? Can someone hear
that? These glasses.
Oh, is that what it is?
Or it's the ghost of Christmas present knocking at the door.
But that's true with like acting, right? You get so many actors and people like that who they take it so sick, and it's like, oh my god! And like my sister's one of the not so much, but she takes it. And also, actors I find are. So, like, this doesn't happen in the comedy world, which I don't really think. And it's so nice to say, if you're in the comedy world, people are actually really happy for your success. They kind of help each other and they're friendly and all those kind of...
I think.
They're supportive,
yeah.
Right? In the acting world, they're literally like, well, they're shit acting.
Well, there's a lot of competition because there are finite roles, right? So if someone looks like you... you know, and you're friends.
You deface them.
You're not friends. You cut their ankles.
If they look like you, you cut their ankles.
Well, I mean, I guess that's, you know, they're
ruthless. Is that something you learned at one of your schools you were at?
No, my girlfriend's an actress. Not that she does that, you know.
Oh, doing well, is she? I wonder how she got there.
I think
cutting someone's ankles.
A bony like part of the leg to cut as well.
No, they're Achilles
also,
heel.
How do you get?
Kid, like, it's not just the fall back. Heel, it's the ankle though.
Also, how do you get down there? How do you?
No, you don't do it yourself. You pay someone else to do it.
So you pay.
Yeah.
I heard. Wow. I was talking to this guy who he used to drive us. We used to do these things called personal appearances.
Oh yeah, PAs. I've heard about them.
Oh god,
I'm doing one now. Here.
Yeah,
I never get asked to do them. I think people didn't want me at their nightclub.
I think. Yeah. Do you think that's your demographic?
I think it's wearing a blazer that does it.
Also, so hot. Like, you get the W's of sweat underneath.
Yeah,
it.
People didn't want that in there.
take off your jacket, you idiot.
Oh no, I don't think I could do that really.
But he used to drive, and he was quite a weird guy. Like there was one time when he said he's obviously a crook. This guy, do you know who I'm talking? I don't want
to
name him.
I hope he enjoys listening to this.
But give me a hint.
Yeah, he used to drive us to PAs, and he was a big guy. You must remember.
Well, anyway,
he was a crook, and he said he was talking. We're talking about like people, like gangs, what they used to do. And he said, "Oh, there's God. This." He then told me the story that there's like this gang that what they used to do is they used to. Get barbed wire.
Oh god.
Yeah, they used to put a pole up your bum and then feed barbed wire through it, then take the pole out and then rip the barbed wire out of your butt.
Oh my goodness, very elaborate.
You know, he told me this story.
That's creative thinking there.
Yeah, and then we went to Essex and he said, oh, we're going to take you to my house. We went, okay, and he said, oh, I don't have the key for it. And I went, all right. So
we climbed
the gate and got into
that
the
house.
We got into the house.
You were being sent on a burglary.
And the doorbell went, I swear to God, doorbell weren't, and he went shh, and I went I went, someone's at the door, and he went no, we can't tell them that we're here. And I went, it's your house. And he went, yeah, but let's just be quiet, let's wait till they go. I was in this house.
What did you steal?
We didn't steal anything. We were just in a house. It was weird.
That is terrifying, yeah. Jamie.
Wait, and what was this, a personal appearance?
This was a personal appearance in someone, a surprise
someone else's
party.
House.
Yeah, it was so sketchy. But this is the thing, right? So you then...
It's not really a surprise party if it's just you two. It's a bit weird.
You two and one person knocking at the door.
Yeah. You have to have more than one person to be a surprise party.
But what could be more surprising than that?
but you know, so Tom, you growing up, so then you did acting and things like that, and then you realised that perhaps acting wasn't for you. But then when did the comedy start setting
in? Because nobody wants to employ in their like hard-hitting intro, like, oh my god, we're doing this really important play. People always talk about plays being really important. I'm never sure if they are that.
and also with plays, everyone always goes, that was really good. No one ever says it was a bad play. And I always come up going, not always, but some of the
time. Do you know one play that I saw recently which was fantastic, was Ink. Did you see
that? Apparently that is good.
It was fantastic. It's actually, I think, one of the best plays I've ever seen.
Wow.
That's I've only cool. seen a few, so.
And you've only seen three plays.
Yeah, I've only seen three.
What were the other two?
Well, school play.
Everyone's seen Of Mice and Men.
This pantomime.
Yeah, George, browse the ketchup.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? So no one wanted in
no, a... No one wants in their hard-hitting play, in some very important place, the, like, 22-year-old Tom Allen with slick back hair doing a Noel Coward impression. Nobody wants that.
I love you keep going back to Noel Coward.
Just really wanted to be with him.
Well, you should have just written your own play.
So that's basically what I did, yeah, like, exactly, to become a stand-up. So I sort of...
I just want to find out. I actually don't know who Noel Coward is.
Oh, Jamie. Oh, Jamie.
I'm really... I think he's feigning...
who is he? Who's... Noel, I'm Googling... Noel Coward was an English... playwright. That's why.
But his plays were very flippant and very, but you know, very much of the interwar era. So they're not sort of, you know, fell very massively out of favor in the sort of after the Second World War. But you know, we're talking about somebody who was alive basically 100 years ago.
But it's so odd to be obsessed with someone like that.
Yeah, I don't know why though. But I was always an outsider. Just didn't want to just would rather associate with him and that world. Always saw myself in that world. Didn't want to be in the sort of current world. Just wanted to be in a fantasist, really,
but,
I suppose,
but
what I was,
break
in
that
an escapist
down.
Way.
But what was the obsession with it? You know, if I say I was obsessed when I was a kid, I was obsessed with rugby, and it was because it kind of made me cool.
You like
was,
to be rolling around with boys. You?
It just made
me
cool.
I mean, now like people I know play rugby, and I think, gosh, that must be fun.
But you know, you had that obsession is odd. Like, did you read his plays? Did you do? I mean, I don't.
No, you just heard about. No, I just heard about it. It sounded great.
Read his Wikipedia page. Yeah. Well, there was no Wikipedia then. So if you liked somebody would have to recommend something to you, and then you'd have to go to the library. So I'd have to go to like Bromley Central Library and take out like the scripts of Noel Coward or like. I'm from Bromley. Oh, yes.
No, you just. Yeah, I just love Bromley.
I love going to Bromley. I love
to catch the bus all the way from
all
North
way,
London
I
to get, Bromley.
I lived in. I lived in Watford, yeah. But I just loved a day out.
I couldn't explain it. I just wanted to be in
drawn
Bromley.
To Bromley. Bromley, which is a famously mundane suburb. Yeah,
it is so mundane.
I've got a friend who lives in Bromley, and you sound nothing like him.
No, I won't. But it's where David Bowie is from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no one talks about that. But
I don't think he even talks about it.
And in fact, apparently, the rumour is when David Bowie knew he was dying, he took his family out round Bromley and went to the parks he went to as a child. And of course, was able to walk around completely unbothered because no one was going to be like, oh, that man looks a bit like David Bowie. No one's even like, oh, David Bowie's in. able to just be, like, only in Bromley would it be like, well, of course, David Bowie would never come here. Yeah. So I just kind of would hang out in Bromley Central Library. Sometimes I'd borrow the scores of the piano accompaniments of Noel Coward songs.
Did you take them back, or did you?
I'd borrow them, yeah, sometimes. And I'd sometimes phone up to renew the borrow as well. Yeah, I was like that.
But I find it's because you then, and for people who don't know you, who haven't seen you before, you dress in a blazer suit, you dress very smart.
Now I'm allowed, no one can stop me.
No one can stop you, but you feel comfortable wearing that.
Yeah, I do like it, actually. I like the idea of getting dressed up for the day. Do you know, it's a nice feeling to be
I agree.
I've made an effort today, I'm going to put this on and polish my shoes.
Well, I always have a pretty much a uniform which I stick to.
I bet you do. Is it a series of these lovely jumpers you've got on today?
He loves wearing a uniform. Yeah. And he tells his girlfriend to wear one too. Wear your uniform.
What an interesting relationship.
She wears a cleaner's outfit. No. Not a cleaner's. Sorry, it's sexy maid. Sorry, that's...
That's a lovely... Just slightly wrong. Slightly wrong description of...
Baby, can you dress as a cleaner?
Can you dress as a cleaner?
Really turn me on if you just did the dishes.
Could you put on that tabard?
I love that. Yeah, I'll just go from the cleaners and get that mop out.
It's like saying, like, a nurse is your fancy
you
and dressing as... Very sexy. Very sexy.
No.
It's like French maid. Sure. French maid.
Yeah. I've heard going back in dressed as a cleaner going, this is not what you wanted.
Why have you got the Henry out?
It's like I can't remember where I was going with that. But.
Oh, it was that. No, your uniform is that lovely jumper.
So,
where did you get your jumpers from, Francis?
So this jumper is from actually. I think this is from Marks and Spencer's.
Good choice. Nice thing on the shoulder. Very Sandhurst.
Oh yeah, well,
I'd imagine.
Yeah. I like people to think I go.
But this is the thing though. Like more, you know, you feel comfortable. You quite like being dressed up for the day, which is what everyone always used to do. And I listened to this actually podcast with Joe Rogan where he was talking to. I was about to say Lionel Richie, but it's not Lionel Richie. He's Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, very different again. Very different. Slight, very similar. Yeah. Very different.
He was talking to him. He was saying,
talking to Lionel Richie. Yeah. To Lionel,
about his when new you film, <Lock Stock>.
Lionel, what was it like directing Vinnie Jones?
But it's the he was talking about the fact about the suit, right? And he said Guy Ritchie says he loves wearing a suit.
Yeah, he does wear a suit.
Yeah, he wears suits. But the problem is he said the reason
what's the problem?
The problem with the suit is that the suit now people don't like wearing it because it represents work, and so therefore it's got a bad connotation in people's hearts and things like that because they it's
represents
now,
politicians.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Well, no, but not you're not a three piece lovely tweed suit like that because
please don't,
you know,
don't
politicians apologize. Don't wear those anymore.
No, they don't.
But you know what I mean. It represents something that people kind of
absolutely
aren't really.
Well, bearing in mind, I was like about 12 years old and I suddenly got really obsessed with like bowler hats.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get a bowler hat.
I think they should bring them back.
I think they should. Yeah. But like
I love your obsession. Me,
I was obsessed with bowler hats. I had a couple of bowler hats and I when I was at Edinburgh I drilled a hole in them.
Put a light bulb in.
Put a light bulb in. Yeah. Had these bowler hats around my house.
And did you open up some sort of trending
coffee
shop?
No, but this was before all of that. This was before
you
all
preceded
of that.
That.
I preceded that. Yeah.
Can we just I love the fact that when I growing up my obsession was like I had pogs, I then had football.
Yeah, my brother liked all of that. Yeah. Bearing in mind my brother was completely normal.
Yeah. And your obsession so far is so Noel
my poor parents.
And bowler hats.
Yes. Yes. And then top hats, which are very difficult to buy.
Yeah.
And I've got a big head. So I could never find one to fit. And they don't make them anymore. The fun thing about top hats is they don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'd go round like vintage clothes shops with my parents who found it disgusting. And would try on all these hats and they were like, why do you want to dress like an old banker? Like, why would you want to dress like I remember people wearing things like that. It was so because to me like this was sort of romance of days gone by, but of course in reality it wasn't like that. And in reality, like working in an office where someone wore a bowler hat, they were probably a pompous prick, weren't they? Like some horrible. Yeah.
But it's amazing because what you've kind of done for yourself is that you Kelly, you had all these obsessions and growing up and things like that, but this has become your character in a sense. This is you. It's not your character so much because this is who you are. But when you go on stage, you can play off this person who you are. So your content and your material is so real and true and honest. And it's you on, so you don't really step that much into a character.
Well, I realised that I was kind of strange. And at times I was like, oh God, I'm so ashamed. But then I realised if you actually own it and go towards it and you talk about all these weird things you do as a kid, which because everybody's done something where they feel out of place or they feel out of context. But if you own it, I think people go, oh, actually, I was like that in one way. There's an allegory with their own life. Or they're like, oh, well, my cousin was like that. Or, oh, my son is like that. Or, oh, I remember.
And so then you feel like you fit
like
in
that.
With other people.
So there's all,
there's a sort of relatable truth to it.
Yeah, yeah, the paradox or the, is it paradox or contradiction, is that everybody's an outsider, really.
Everyone's alone and feels like an outsider.
And but also, there's that other amazing thing, why fit in when we were born to stand out, right? And
who said that?
Yeah, I can't remember who said
Colin
that.
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Colin Firth. Jamie Lang, you're stealing.
Gene Hackman, I think.
Gene Hackman said it repeatedly.
Gene Hackman, before he died, said it.
Yeah.
He said, remember everyone. But this is the thing.
He's not dead.
Literally before he died. Still true, before he died. It is still true to say before he died. I said before I died. And I've gone out.
But the thing is so it must have been tricky, right? So you're growing up in Bromley.
In Bromley,
yeah. That's why it was tricky.
Yeah.
But also, it was tricky because you didn't fit in. You were confused about why you probably liked these things, but you knew you liked them. And so, and then, as you said, you were ashamed. So was it like, it must have been tough, right, at times?
Yeah, I think it was really. And I think, like Joe Wharton said, all comedy is the public channeling of a private sadness. I think that's his word.
It's depressing,
isn't it? Yeah. But I think hilarious plays. But I think it is that sort of comedy does sort of come from a place of kind of that, you know? And I think actually it's about owning it and people go, oh, all right, it's okay. Because we, like we say, like everybody feels like it in some way.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but you can own it. But you can own it on, like, now you can own it because you're in comedy and you can think that. But before, growing up, you can't own it because there's no avenue to express that.
Yes,
that's
certainly
right?
Frustration, yeah. And especially then, like, do you remember? I mean, I think I'm 35. You're not 30 yet.
30, yeah, I'm 30.
Are you
30?
Yeah. Are you both 30? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, maybe you remember that sort of like mid to late 90s sort of like...
rave scene, yeah.
Rave scene.
Yeah.
That I was, by the way, a huge part of. And... If there was a party advertised on a roundabout, I was there. I always wrote down the details, popped on a bowler hat, went down. But it was. It starts at 4 a.m. Okay.
Tom, you'll be cold. Don't forget your bowler hat.
But you get away with that. You get away with wearing a bowler hat at a rave.
Actually, Drew, that was probably a little, yeah.
I don't think you would.
Yeah, you would. It's the only place you could.
Yeah, they like a bit of eccentricity, don't they? That sort of glass.
Yeah, he's really into the party.
yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. But
it's more like, where is your bowler hat, maybe? Yeah. this is a rave, come on, mate.
But yeah, it was difficult. What was that?
Because about the elderly,
it was a really boring time, like mid to late 90s, all that sort of like lad culture. Yeah. Everybody was being very laddy and boring. It was all about like Euro 96, I remember. And there was not really that much fun to be like, has anybody seen my cravat? Like, and no one was on board with that. In like now, I think it's really exciting.
Were you not into the Spice Girls? Or?
A little bit, but like. That even that felt like it was a big popular thing. Yeah. So actually,
it wasn't niche enough.
It wasn't. I wanted something niche. Yeah, but that now I think people are allowed to explore that a bit more, and that's sort of celebrated, which is great.
Was it so much easier to explore because you've got the internet and you can?
Yes,
cultivate
you can reach out to other people and feel like not so alone. Yeah. So you go, I'm interested.
You reach out to your pen pal. Do you?
Do you have
a bowler hat?
Hey. I haven't got a letter back for a while. I used to like writing letters, though. I like writing a letter.
Yeah, letters are great.
Yeah. I went through a phase of writing letters. I go through different phases. Maybe I'll come back to it. I had some stationery made. I bet you've got stationery made, haven't you, Jamie?
I don't have any stationery made.
I went through a phase of doing calligraphy. Well, I still kind of do it. I still kind of do it, you know, when I want to relax. But I went through a really obsessive...
See, that's like what I'm describing. When I want to relax, I did a calligraphy class. Yeah.
I'm sure when you look at me, you think, that guy does calligraphy.
There's that great line in Frasier. Do you watch Frasier?
Yeah, I love Frasier.
Where the dad, like Niles, gives his dad a certificate for like some like sport he's done, and the dad looks at it and goes, "Oh, look, I'm good at something." And he goes, "Oh, son, calligraphy is not really a sport." Looking at the writing on the certificate. lots of people do these things.
No, and I get like obsessive about them for a period of time, and then I'll do something else. But then I'll like go back to them when I'm feeling.
That's
like,
why you always have to move schools.
When you're feeling in the
no, mood. I haven't done calligraphy in a while.
Hands.
I've got all the equipment.
I still think that one of the funniest things I've heard was when we went to Edinburgh and we did our show we just finished. We did 3 days in Edinburgh. And Francis's girlfriend came up, and he was in the room, sort of, you know, where stairs sort of part in a hotel, and he goes to the top when I went to the bottom.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've been in a lot of hotels, and I remember.
I know how the stairs split.
And as Francis, I went, good night, Francis. Good night to his girlfriend, Katie. And I went with my girlfriend downstairs, and I heard Francis walking through, and he went, do you want to watch sailing videos tonight?
I was obsessed with sailing at the time. I still am.
It's a lovely thing. Do you like that Christopher Cross song?
Yeah.
Sailing.
Sailing away, yeah.
It's just sailing. You haven't heard it.
I'm sailing.
No, that's not the song. That's I'm Sailing by Rod Stewart.
Oh, right. No, I don't know the Christopher Cross one.
Christopher Cross, you've got it.
I said I did, but
yeah,
I lied.
You did. And I found you out straight away.
And on that, hey,
one of those lies where you stand nothing to gain.
Yeah, nothing. You could have just lied.
But when I do those lies, I just continue through the. I push through the lie.
That's your life.
I just push on through. But it's not true. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. People in the end will go, oh, all right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then you just feel, yeah, like, good. Glad that you did that. Francis, we also need to have question of the week, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this format.
Yeah, we have a very good format. Francis, let's have question of the week.
Okay.
Is it me?
I think that's Francis. Come on.
No, it's not me.
It is. You turn your phone on silent.
Oh, yes. Here we go. All right.
He does this every time. He goes, here we are, ready.
What? We can talk about something else while you're finding it.
I'll get it. It's just I always have to get it out of my phone. Okay, here we go. All right.
Adorable. Totally
what
adorable.
Is, what, you might know this.
Probably.
What is Minnie Mouse's full name?
What is Minnie Mouse's full name?
Why would I know that?
yeah, you're because you're the type of person to know that. Yeah.
Do we guess now or later?
You guess now. Give it a guess. Go.
Minnie Mouse. So Minnie presumably is short for something. Mm. Minogue mouse.
Charlotte. I reckon it's Charlotte.
You think it's Charlotte?
I think it's Charlotte, yeah.
I think it is a Melanie.
Melanie. All right, well, we will see you in part two.
Right, Tom, you going to stick around for part two?
Well, I guess so.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait to.
See you in part two.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.